You're listening to the TV Zone podcast coverage of Stranger Things. I'm your host, Chantel. Joining me is my co-host, Jay. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Talking about episode 7 today, called The Lost Sister. As I was just telling you a minute ago, it was my least favorite episode, probably, of the season. And you said...
And I said that you're not alone in this because it is unanimously... everyone's least favorite of not just this season, but the entire two seasons.
Well, I have my reasons as to why it's my least favorite episode. Okay. But why do you think it's everyone else's?
Well, I think because up until this point, we have all the episodes basically is all the stories are interconnected. You know, everybody's involved from different points of views and they all connect, right? Mm-hmm. But with this story, it's 11 solo. You know, she leaves Hawkins, Indiana. She goes on a road trip to, I guess, Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's where she went.
It is, because you see the Sears Tower when she gets off the bus.
So she goes to Chicago, which I feel like that's a, that's an 80s trope in a sense, too, because a lot of teen movies, especially John Hughes, they take place in either in fictional Sherwood, Illinois, or Chicago.
Right.
So of course, I mean, you know, it has to be Chicago, right? But it's solely 11's episode. It's her on her own quest, her own journey. And because I feel like that even though she is, quote unquote, the most popular character, I felt like this was their way kind of experimenting of, well, since everyone loves 11 so much, let's give her her own episode. And in a way, that kind of was a wrong decision, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, as we've been going through this season, you know, Dustin has become the standout of the kids, you know, in some degree. So it's like, well, basically they're trying to It almost felt like they're trying to force 11, you know, to be in your favorite, you know, even though she, you know, from the first season and even somewhat this season, still she's everybody's favorite, quote unquote. But it felt like with this episode, they was really trying to drive that home, and it just doesn't work, in my opinion.
No, it doesn't. And for me, I didn't feel like her going to Chicago was necessary whatsoever, because, I mean, nothing is accomplished when she's there.
Well, and
she goes because she believes her mother is trying to tell her to go there for a reason. Which I guess she wasn't, because they don't really... What was the purpose of her going there other than to meet this girl who she, I don't know, used to play with in the Rainbow Room, is what they call it. Well, just so she knows there's someone else out there like herself. Like, that was pretty much it. She gets into some shenanigans and then she... You know, gets homesick.
She realized, this is not for her yet. So it's like, I'm going back home. I'm like, I ran away. I had some fun, but it's time for me to go back home. You know, type of situation.
Right.
She's not ready to be with the misfit X-Men, if you will.
That's how I felt like. I felt like this girl, Carly, well, we'll talk about her in a minute, but it felt like she was like Robin Hood and with her band of merry men. That's what it felt like to me.
Well, she really Robin Hood? I don't know.
I didn't care for any of them either, except for the big black one. It was kind of nice.
Yeah, you like them? You like the big and black?
No, I mean, he kind of reminded me of Lee from work. That's all. You know. Hmm? Lee's a really sweet guy, though. That's pretty big tip.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
Hi, Lee.
Yeah, that's a beat list. I doubt you.
I hope so. Shit. Okay, so I have to ask you something else. Before she heads out to Chicago, she goes to her mom's mind. She sees the young girl from the Rainbow Room. That's why she decides to go out there. For whatever reason, her mother is showing her this, like, it's imperative that she sees it. And then she sees her, like, I don't know, she does that thing where she covers her eyes and she sees shit and she sees calls. So She runs to tell her aunt of this news, and her aunt's on the phone. But who's her aunt on the phone to? She's kind of giving her up. It seems like. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It looked like it's a bad thing because basically we find out that good old Aunt Becky ain't shit, in a sense. She basically knows more than what she led on to, and apparently the people, the bad people, that was working with Brennan and everything, mm-hmm. is probably who she's ratting 11 out to.
That's kind of fucked up. What would be in it for her? Like, they've already, you know, made her sister pretty much brain dead.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Stolen her baby. Like, why would she want to help these bad people?
Well, maybe she was in on it all along. You know,
why was she in on it?
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out next season or something like that. Because I think they will expand more on, well, they kind of have to expand more on Eleven's backstory, since they went this route, because this is what this episode basically is you finding more out about her backstory and how she came to be,
mm-hmm.
or whatnot. So, I'd say maybe she, some way, somehow, she got involved with these people, and her way out was to basically have her sister, you know, give her sister over to Brennan to have him do all this stuff and then take, you know, baby Jane and stuff like that. So the sister was in on it even way back then. So.
I see. Well, you just follow these fucking theories and conspiracy shit. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I could
maybe be right, or maybe we'll never hear from Aunt Becky again. I don't know.
Well, I don't think we'll never hear from her again, but.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think she's important.
Well, she kind of made herself important.
Maybe. Like I said, I just don't know. I don't know why I would go back to her. Where was I? But yeah, the reason I thought she was going to Chicago, you mentioned that shit about the 80s pop culture. I thought she was going to Chicago because, you know, it's like the closest mecca to Indiana. If you live in the middle of Indiana, then Chicago's probably like only an hour or two away.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Indiana. So when she gets there, she like, she finds this, it's like an abandoned warehouse with these freaks living in it.
Yeah, the Misfit X-Men.
Yeah. And like I said before, I don't like any of them.
I don't know any of them.
They got goofy acting. I didn't like it. All the cliches are represented.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. I mean, but you say when she first got to Chicago, what about the fact that when she's walking the street, it's 11's day out because she's walking and she's just looking around all doe-eyed. And then when the police, she kind of put her head down so they don't see her and stuff like this. And then she bump into that dude and it's like, watch it, kid. I'm like, mouth breather. It's like, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, at first she seems a little bit excited. Then she seems a little bit freaked out. Or probably when she gets to the shitty part of town, which I wouldn't have gone there by myself. And I don't get it. It's something about these people. Now, this band of freaks, what do? They rob banks and shit?
Yeah, they rob banks. I don't know what the hell exactly. They're just misfits, I guess. They're just doing a whole bunch of random shit.
Well, when you see them in that first episode. What are they doing, robbing a bank?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you something. If they have no living expenses, and they just robbed a bank, and this is what they do, they rob banks, why do they have no money? What do they do with their money? They're, like, lighting fires and trash cans with pieces of wood and whatever they can find. They don't have they drive around a shitty old van. Like, what do they do with their money?
Well, I'm gonna answer that by quoting the great Michael Caine from The Dark Knight. Some people just like to watch the world burn. So,
I guess.
Yeah, go that route.
I don't see the point unless they're gonna actually indulge themselves in some nicer, finer living.
Who knows?
They wear the same outfits in every scene, so they're obviously not clothes shopping. I don't know. And I don't see how they could live in this abandoned warehouse. Where do they shower?
You're asking too many questions now.
This is what I do. I'm thinking about it too much.
I don't think the Duffer Brothers put too much effort into it.
I'm thinking about it, and it's a little bit silly to me. Okay, so they rob banks, but they don't have money. They live in a warehouse, but they don't shower. And Kali, I don't think I like her very much. I couldn't decide whether I did or not. She's kind of morose and serious, and I can't determine if she's good or bad. And I don't know. I just don't care for her character. I could, you know, take her or leave her. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to see, you know, okay, there is someone else like Eleven, you know, because it shows that she was not the only one. And it goes back to my whole Firestarter thing where, you know, Dr. Brennan was doing experiments on multiple people or whatnot. So like I said, from that aspect, it's good, but I agree that with her, you don't know whether she's good or bad, but I think she's more, I feel like they brought her in to be the, in a weird way, the upside down version of Eleven.
Mm-hmm.
Because think about it. They both come from the same place, probably under the same circumstances. Just so happened, one goes one way, the other goes other. Their lives in one instance probably could be reversed.
Right.
So that's kind of how I look at it, at least with this episode.
Well, I don't know. I did think that her powers are kind of cool. Like, she has the ability to make people, what she says, see or not see things by convincing their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle, I guess she just, like, moves shit with her minds, so she can see where people are. Whose power do you prefer?
Well, I kind of prefer Eleven because of the fact we saw her disintegrate but some way somehow go into the upside down and come back. So technically, I guess she can't die. So I still take 11 powers over the other
one. I don't know. Because when you see Call do certain things, I'm like, that's pretty dope. But I don't know.
But who's to say 11 can't do it?
Like, make people see shit?
Yeah.
Maybe she just doesn't have, you know, discovered her full potential. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. So, because, you know, we don't know what Brennan was actually, you know, to what extent he was testing her with. We just saw, like, small doses. So.
Right. But Call certainly sees the potential in what she has. Decides she's going to help her utilize it by finding these bad men. And I know that Call and Callie, whatever the fuck her name is, and Eleven have reasons to find these bad men, but what are the other people's reasons? Like, oh, we hunt these bad men and we, you know, teach them a lesson or whatever. Like, arresting you because you broke the law doesn't make them a bad man. That makes you a criminal. So what are these other people's reasons for killing these bad men?
Well, it could be a combination of, once again, we go under the misfits thing where because they see themselves as social outcasts, so they want to, you know, bring pain against people who have done, not necessarily done them wrong, but they have done other people wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then also, too, is it that Kali has kind of convinced them of this, you know, with the whole mind thing?
Yeah, she's definitely running the shit.
So.
Yeah, so that's another thing I don't care for, just their whole lemming mentality. But yeah, she convinces Levin and everyone to go with her to find these bad men, so to speak. And, well, one in particular. Now yes. I gotta ask you, the guy that they're going to find, was he the one? Oh, I get confused. Remember in the first season when Elle escapes from the place she was at? And she's eating food in, like, a diner or something. Is that that's not the guy at the diner, correct?
No, because he got killed.
Did he? Okay, so I don't remember this shit. Yeah, but I thought that the guy was the big bald guy.
No. No, actually, that guy, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the dude that play on This Is Us.
See, I haven't seen him, so I don't know.
I think that's him. I have to look it up. But no, the guy in this, freaking Pruitt Taylor Vince, I mean, he's always, anytime you see him in something, he's always, you know, getting the shit kicked out of him. And I think in most recent, he's probably best known for being Otis in season 2 of The Walking Dead, where, spoiler alert, for anyone who hasn't seen it, Shane shoots him in the kneecap and leaves him behind to get killed by the
or the walkers, and so Shane can get away. Because he's the one who shoots, by accident, he shoots Carl when they was in the woods, because he thought he was shooting, he was trying to shoot a deer, and bullet goes through the deer, and it goes and shoots Carl in the chest and everything.
See, I don't know what you just said, because I've never seen The Walking Dead. So that sounds well and awesome.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been in a lot of things. He was in Constantine. He was also in Identity. Famously, too, he was in the Natural Born Killers. I say he's been in a lot of things.
Well, they say in this that I don't remember him from earlier on in the show. Was he in the show?
No, he wasn't.
Okay, so he just did some shit that we didn't see that they know of. To Jane, as they call her, you know, to her mom.
Baby Jane.
Yeah. And he did some shit to Kali as well. You see him coming at her with, like, a prod, like, tricuting her. That sucks. So, yeah, they give Jane a makeover. And they take her to find this guy. She takes them to find this guy. One way or the other, I don't know. And they get to his house, and I don't know.
They basically rough him up.
Yeah, they do, and then she realizes he has kids, so she gets all soft as she's getting ready to kill him.
Yeah.
And then she has a change of heart. And Kali decides she's going to take it upon herself, because this guy showed no mercy to Levin's mother whenever he was doing whatever he was doing. And Levin interferes with that, and, you know, Kali's gun goes flying out the window. And then the police show up, like, in a nick of... Is that what happens? The police show up?
Yep.
How did they know that this was going on? Who called the police?
Probably a neighbor or something.
Oh. Why? Did they bust in and make a lot of noise?
Yeah, pretty much. They bust through the front door.
Yeah, I thought maybe the kids called the police. I don't know.
They didn't get thrown against the wall, so, you know, there was a lot of noise making. So.
Yeah, these guys are kind of stupid. They don't really think about these things.
No, they don't plan. They don't plan it out.
But I guess this is where you're conflicted with whether or not she is good or bad, Kali, because she wants to kill him and show no mercy, and Levin does not feel comfortable with that whatsoever.
Well, actually, this wasn't the scene that made me think that.
Hmm?
That wasn't the scene that made me think that she was good or bad.
Well, that's what I thought. Well, what was yours?
It's actually when they get back to the warehouse, and they're having a conversation, and she basically makes 11C Papa.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of fucked up, too.
Which, I mean, I like, you know, seeing Matthew Modine as Dr. Brennan once again, because even though he's an evil character, but I just like his character, because I feel like there's more to that character.
I do, too. He's a silver fox.
Yeah. So.
You just said yeah.
Yeah, I did. He's a silver fox. Okay. I agree with him. And plus, I mean, you know, he got on this nice suit and everything like that. You know, he's a well-dressed man, so. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you something. Before they get back there, though, when they're getting ready to shoot this guy in the face, he says that that her father's still alive. Papa's still alive. What's his name? Is he Brenner? Though?
Yes, he's
Brenner. Okay. Why does he say that?
You don't know? I guess he don't know that Brennan is dead, but at the same time, this also made me... This is where I started to believe that, who exactly is Eleven's dad?
How do you mean? Oh, like his real dad.
Like a real dad. Because it's like, okay, she refers to Dr. Brennan as Papa, but I don't know if anybody else, especially in his, you know, case, ever heard her refer to him as Papa. So, when he says that, it's like, okay, is he talking about Dr. Brennan or is referring to someone else?
I thought that they were talking about Brenner because I saw the name Brenner in subtitles, and I was like, is that the fat guy's name or is that her father's name? Well, not her father, but is that Papa's name?
Yeah.
So I thought that's what they were talking about. I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
Because, I mean, if they did introduce, like, her real dad, I would always love to have, Michael Bean show up as Eleven's real dad.
Michael Biehn.
Yeah, from Terminator and Aliens and
yeah,
Michael Biehn.
Yeah. Why?
Because who better than probably, you know, the hero of heroes from the 80s, in a sense.
Yeah. Matthew Broderick. Now?
I said heroes. I didn't say.
Darth Vader is a hero.
Yeah, but he almost got by principal. What's his face?
Yeah, Rooney.
Yeah, Rooney. Yeah, he almost got. So, ain't so much of a hero. Yes.
Okay. Well, yeah, that would be interesting. That is a good choice, but I think that Michael Biehn's a bit old. No.
So what?
I don't know, he just seems a bit old to be playing her father. He's gotta be in his 60s now.
But Dr. Brennan's old too.
Yeah, but he's not really her father.
Well, we don't know that. We don't know who her dad is.
Yeah. Alright then. Well, maybe, I don't know. I'll think of somebody more appropriate. Who needs work right now? What is Judd Nelson doing? Probably nothing.
Judd Nelson? Oh my god.
Get him on the horn.
I thought you said, you talking about somebody that's 60. Ain't he about 60?
Yeah, he is, but he's not working, and he might want the job.
What was the last thing you saw Michael Biehn in?
Nothing. Did you ever see Strange Wilderness?
How long ago was that?
That was a long time ago.
When, 2007?
Yeah, probably, when was the last time you saw Judd Nelson?
Probably 1999.
Okay, so 10 years before that.
Well, no, I think he was in an episode of Psych.
I don't know.
Yeah, he was in an episode of Psych. Yeah.
So that would be enough to hold him over for, 1 month of rent, and then he'll need another job. I'm saying they could do it
for
Sean Astin, and they should help this guy out.
What was the last thing you saw Winona Ryder in before this? And I'm not counting Star Trek, because I forgot.
I was just going to say Star Trek.
Yeah, but I remember the first time I saw that, I didn't know that was her. Because I was like, what the hell was Winona Ryder in here?
I guess Black Swan.
Oh, that's right, she was in Black Swan.
But yeah, I just now thought about that. But apart from that, it had been a very long time.
Yeah, so there you go. And like I said, we're talking about people. I mean, there's a lot of people from the 80s that we could throw as her dad. So.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Hell, Anthony
Michael Hall. You really freaks me out, though. I think it's the whole Edward Scissorhands thing.
Emilio Estevez?
Yeah, what happened to that guy?
Well, he directs more now.
He directs?
Yeah.
What does he direct?
Well, he directed a movie, Bobby. He did this movie here, I think 2 years ago, that his dad was in.
No. Not ringing any bells.
Yeah. Yeah, Fisher Stevens could be her dad. I don't know.
I like Fisher Stevens.
I say there's a lot of people from there. Steve Guttenberg.
Yeah, there's one. He hasn't done shit in 2 days.
He was in the third season of Ballers. So.
I did not watch Ballers.
Yeah, I know you didn't. You should watch it. It's a good show.
What does he look like? Does he look good?
Yeah, he's aged pretty decent. He wasn't a terrible sci-fi original by these giant tarantulas, which, ironically enough, those movies are supposed to be in the same universe as Sharknado. So.
Well, it's nice to bring people like that back. It's nice that Ralph Macchio found his spot in the deuce.
Yeah, well, hell, Ralph Macchio would be her dad. That's sad that there's a lot of people that was big stars in the 80s that they could bring back. C. Thomas Howe.
Ew, gosh, yeah.
You know, he looks old as shit now, but.
Yeah, I haven't seen him act since the 80s. So. Or no, never mind. Sci-fi movies and whatnot.
Yeah. He was in a Western with, was it Tim Daly, I think it was? I think it was. Yeah.
I think I'll pass.
Steven Weber, he could be her dad. I don't know. Wings. Good old Wings. Little Wings.
I like that show.
Hopefully they don't try to revive that.
Yeah.
Clearly we're going off the rails since we talking about all these other shows and people.
Yeah, I'd be curious to hear other people's feedback. Maybe a poll.
So anyone who's listening, matter of fact, I think I will. I'll put a poll up and list a couple of actors and see what you guys, who you guys think should be Eleven's dad, who should be brought in to play Eleven's dad in future season of Stranger Things.
Well, there you have it. So these idiots, going back to where we were, the idiots leave this guy's house, not killing him, after the cops show up. They go back to the warehouse, and who shows up again but the Fuzz? They raid the warehouse just as Elle's getting homesick, and so she has this vision before the cops bust down the door where she sees Hopper and he's doing some shit, and then Mike breaks in and he's like, it's a trap, whatever. Did that happen in the last episode or something?
No, okay. The thing with Hopper on the radio, that coincides with last episode, because remember when he was in the truck and he went out there and he was talking on the CB because he was trying to talk to her. That's when we realized that she was gone.
So that coincides
with that. But then she started kind of remembering, hey, I still have unfinished business back in Hawkins, you know, with my friends, with my boyfriend Mike and my other friends and whatnot and everything. So you get like little flashes because it's like, hey, even though your main stars are not in this episode, let's have some flashbacks to them just to remember that this is actually still Stranger Things.
Okay. I was wondering like where that was in the timeline, whether that was happening as she was looking at it or if I missed it, or if it happens in the next episode, and what he was talking about, what was the trap. I don't know that shit. That's mostly the last thing you see is her. Cops break in. Call makes everybody go invisible so they can get away. They get in the van. And then she makes this. This is why I think her powers are cool, because she pretty much barricades them from the police by having this, like, wall go up. Yeah. Now, if the wall isn't real and they try to go through the wall, will they be able to? Because it's just in their minds, right? She's just letting them think that they see it.
Yeah, but they see this big giant wall form in front of their eyes, so.
And yeah, but if they tried for some reason to, like, touch it, would they realize it's not really there?
I don't know. I mean, go back to, like, the first episode when she makes the cop see that the damn thing had caved in on him and he crashed the doggone car or whatnot. So.
Right.
Because he tries to avoid it, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was a little bit confused about that, and, yeah, she decides she wants to go home. So, when she decides she wants to go home, that led me to think, like, what the fuck was the point of her coming at all? Why did her mother want her to see Collie, and why did she want her to go to Chicago? And well, what did that have to do with anything?
The reason why I kept referencing back to the X-Men thing, so you know the scene where they go out there to the train or whatnot, and Collie basically wants her to use her full power, her full potential, and she has her Magneto moment when she basically, you know, pulls the thing to her and everything. I felt like this was to make her become more of a complete, you know, kind of complete herself more. I think that's one reason too that a lot of people didn't like this episode, because did you really need a full episode to do this? You could have sprinkled like the most important stuff from this episode into a few parts from another full episode that revolves around the whole story.
Right, true.
So, I think that's one reason why people didn't like it so much.
I didn't like the characters. I didn't like it being in Chicago that much.
Especially if this is just a one-off. It's like, okay, so why should I care about these other people?
Yes.
Because if that's the case, you didn't really need the band of misfits, you know, the lower end X-Men or whatnot. You didn't need them. You could just had Collie or whatnot, and that's it. So it's like, what's the purpose of all of them?
Right. Okay. Exactly.
Because if we're not going to see these people again, did you really need her to be with these other people or whatnot?
So you think that's it? You think the story ends for Collie there?
I don't know, because it's like,
Because, okay, like, when we see them in the very beginning of this season, it's like, wait, well, who the hell are these people? No, will we ever see them again?
She seemed pretty devastated when Eleven was leaving. Like, they only knew each other for, like, a day, you know?
Yeah, but they're sisters.
They were, like, they... Not really.
Sisters in the sense that, you know, they... They both was basically some quote-unquote created in the same place.
Yeah, but they don't know each other from, you know, a wall. Like,
well, they knew each other when they were real little.
They played as small children for a little bit, and then they were separated. So for them to be like, oh, I felt like something was missing my whole life, and now I feel like
but
it's here, like, but a bit extreme.
But we did find out, too, okay, 11 is 11, Kali is 8. So who is 1 through 7 and who is 9 and 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I just really wanted to do that.
Terrible. But seriously, though, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, well, who, you know, who else? You know, if they're 8 and 11, who are the rest of the experiments? Are they dead or could they be out there somewhere?
Oh, Jesus, this show's going to go on for fucking ever.
Well, no, it's only planned for 4 seasons.
Well, then, what, everybody, 9 and 10 are going to be in? Why is it only planned for 4 seasons?
That's what they said. The Duffer Brothers are not going to try to run it into the ground.
Well, no, of course not. It's better to go on a high note, but I feel like the appropriate expiration is after 6 seasons.
Well, but, I mean, when you think about it, Netflix shows don't go on forever.
I guess not, but I feel like Orange is the New Black just keeps going and going.
Well, that one is going on forever, and unfortunately for reasons of certain people, House of Cards is ending. But I mean, yeah. Those are the longest tenured shows on Netflix. But the others, you know, they kind of, you know, tap off at 3-4 seasons.
Well, I don't know. I just, this is a good season. I hope next season's as good. How many episodes do we have left? 2?
Yeah, after this, 2 episodes. We're almost there.
I need to rewatch those again because I don't remember them that much at all. I don't remember how the show ends.
And then we move on to Jessica Jones.
Oh, Jesus. I did not actually accept that offer.
Come on, you know you gotta do it.
Ask around a little bit more. It's just the, like, me of all people, you know I don't like comics or Marvel or Superman.
But I think you will like Jessica.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. Plus, you like David Tennant. You like him as Doctor Who, and he's the bad guy in this. So,
I just don't know if David Tennant's gonna be enough to cut it this time, my friend.
Like I say, you will like Jessica's snarky point of, you know, view on life. So.
Is it out already then?
The first season.
Season two
doesn't start until March 8th.
That means I gotta watch all of season 1.
Yeah.
And then season 2.
Yeah.
What if I don't like the first episode?
You just watch it.
For fuck's sake. Okay, you're right. It's gonna be a long night. Maybe I'll watch it tonight. 1 episode, see how that goes.
Yeah, there you go.
I can always tell if I really like it, then I'll watch 2 and 3 and 4.
Yeah, and then you can watch the whole episode in 2 nights or whatnot.
Yeah. We'll see. But that about does it for my notes. Anything else?
Let me see here. Because I did take a few notes, but I think we kind of covered all the main stuff. Let me just make sure that... Well, I mean, we touched on it briefly, but what did you think of Dr. Brennan, Matthew Modine's cameo? Did you think he was still alive or what?
Well, the first time I saw it, the first time I saw the episode, I totally forgot that she could, you know, do that, have the power to, you know, show people things that they couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, like, in the middle of something, and then I saw him on screen, I was like, what the fuck just happened? Oh my god, it's a setup. She set Ella up. I was like, what is happening?
He's a trap.
Yeah, I was so confused. And then I realized when she started screaming, get out of my head, that it wasn't real. So, but yeah, up until then I was pretty confused. And how, another thing I was thinking at the time was, how does she know? Okay, so Kali knows what he looks like then.
Yeah.
But, well, when did she escape? It must have been a long time ago.
See, that's the thing. So, we don't, maybe she could have got out of that, you know, when the mama come in there, like, freaking dirty hair and shooting up people in the ground.
So, was he her papa, too?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, she knew what he looked like. Or did she know that she can't read minds, right? Could she read those minds and see him in her mind?
No. She know what he looked like. I mean, she was there. She know what he looks like.
So. Yeah, I don't know. But it was nice to see him again. Right?
Yeah, well, we might see him again. Who knows?
Yeah, that would be cool.
So. Hey, at least in this episode, we didn't get whiny Nancy. So, there is that.
Ugh, gosh. You're right. Anything, I'll take it. Anything without those assholes.
But they do come back in episode 8.
Unfortunately, they do, yeah.
But episode 8 is a good episode. It's a very aliens-esque episode.
Yes, that's right. Okay. Well, I look forward to discussing that one then.
Yes. See, once again, it comes back to Michael Biehn, so.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all I got, so.
Well, alright, how do we wrap this shit up usually?
We usually plug all of our thousands of podcasts and stuff.
Yes, go on, plug in your podcast.
So basically, you can check me out on Twitter at JMovieTalk. Matter of fact, I just, as of right now, I just finished recording episode 79 of Movie Talk with a friend of the show, Xena, real queen of horror herself, as we review Wes Craven's People on the Stairs. So that episode will probably be right under this episode on the TV Zone podcast network feed on Podbean as well. So definitely give that a check out. Also, you can check out Movie Talk on Instagram at JMT Podcast and everything. So
that's cool. I haven't really experimented with the app yet. And I haven't, I think I posted a link on Instagram, one link anyways, for the Gianni Versace show.
Yes, which I'm enjoying Krista's coverage of that.
Yes, please listen to our coverage of the assassination of Gianni Versace, as well as the For Frodo podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Movies Life at Movies for Life 17 on Instagram. And I guess stay tuned for a fucking upcoming coverage of Jessica Jones.
Yes, season 2 of Jessica Jones. Excited about it. Hey, it's what the people wanted.
What about what Chantel wants?
Well, that's for podcast 4 to figure out.
You know what Chantel wants? Chantel wants to cover either Black Ink Crew or Love and Hip Hop with someone. So hit me up, people, because let's talk some trash.
Definitely trash.
Shut up, Jay.
That's gutter trash for you. Yeah.
I need somebody to join me in our gossip.
Yeah.
Come on, ladies. I know you're out there.
Yeah. And you someone, want to talk
Caesar, don't you?
Well, why don't you, I mean, on your podcast 4 on Twitter, why don't you put some fillers out there and see what you get back?
Because I don't want to look like an asshole, obviously. These shows are not good. I can't have the other podcasters know that that's what I'm interested in. We'll shoot down all credibility.
Well, you do that already on this episode, and you've done it on the Versace episode.
Right now, the people are already listening, and I hope that they don't hold my taste in reality television against me.
Yeah.
We all do bad things. Jay watches professional wrestling. What is it, WWF? Is that what it's called? WWE?
Hey, that's not bad, though. What are you talking about?
We all have our things. It's kind of silly.
Yeah, watching Black Ink Crew and that other crap is very silly. Yes, I agree.
You shut up. But yeah, I don't know. So get back to us on that. And I need you. I have a Twitter now, everyone. At podcast4, which I need to change. I need someone fucking help helping me change that. At podcast4. That's me. FOR. At podcast4. That's me. And it was not on purpose. I don't know what happened there. Help me. So that about sums it up. And I guess we'll see you next week. Anything else?
No, that's it. Yeah, we'll be back for episode 8.
Yeah, super. All right, we'll see you next week. All right. Ta.